LA Talk Radio thanks you for being a listener. Did you know you too can host your own radio show with us? Go to our site at latalkradio.com or email info@latalkradio.com right now and start your show today.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, August 3rd.
Good morning.
Good morning, Rachel. And today we're going to be talking about, let's see.
Well,
what are we going to talk about today?
We're not going to leave much room for what isn't going to be talked about. No, today we're continuing on with the theme.
With the theme.
Sprinkled throughout.
Of marijuana. We've had pretty much all last week and this week.
Well, yes.
Except for yesterday.
Well, it's funny because it's... like the listeners are getting to know, I am a cannabis advocate. So you're going to start to see hints and pieces of my life sprinkled
more
in
than
on
just
this,
that. Actually,
on,
I mean,
on this,
my
but
God.
I think I also am bringing. I mean, I'm. I think I'm.
No,
bringing
we welcome.
Out the,
yeah,
the because Sam is also.
Yeah,
a
and
consumer.
I asked Rachel to bring friends, and those are your friends.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
you
I
hang out in
some,
the same circle,
of course, and I will bring some friends that aren't in the cannabis industry.
Really,
I will.
You
I
have
to,
some?
I do, but I mean, I will. I have to dig deep. I have to find them. They're buried somewhere in the backyard. No, but I. But what I love is I have friends who are in the industry, but they're in all different aspects of the industry.
I see. Okay.
So it's, you know, like this is a talk radio station and we like to have interesting guests.
Yes. And we talk about what's relevant today.
Exactly. And this is relevant and it's opening up the listeners to a whole new world.
Right. Right.
Right.
Right. And, but we don't leave you out in the cold, folks. We still have great stuff. Yesterday, we had a woman that died three times.
Yes, and she
and came
and
back.
And it wasn't from weed. Can you believe it?
No, it wasn't
not
from weed.
Once.
She was involved in a car accident.
That was such a crazy story.
It really was, you know?
I'm not much of a religious person, but I will say it had me thinking, like, maybe there is, you know, because I always, it's not a joke, but I'm like, maybe we just go somewhere else, you know?
Right, right, right. Well, that's the thing, you know, I don't know, it was described too much in earthly terms, so, you know, like heaven and all that stuff, so
I don't know, but
it's very interesting to listen to.
Of course, it's just, I can understand why it was described in earthly terms, that's the language he has to work with.
Right, but not necessarily, I mean, what if there's like, you
but
know,
I just feel that, I understand what you're saying, I just think there are certain things that we as humans just don't comprehend about the other side or can put meaning or words to. So the only thing we can do is relate to it in a human.
Right. But I just don't,
you know,
I have a feeling we're not meant to come back. If we go to the other side, I don't think there's any way to come back and tell people. But there again, we had someone sitting right here. She seemed like an ordinary person.
Yeah.
An honest person, you know, no
right.
bullshit.
Because, you know, when you watch stories and you hear people and like sometimes you can just tell based off their story or their body language or their tone, like something's not genuine about this person, right? And I didn't for a second think that, I didn't get one of those, eye rolls, she's a Jesus freak, which she wasn't. You know what I mean? Like, and you know me, I will get uncomfortable in those situations. It doesn't matter what religion you're from. If you're too much of it, I'm going to be like, whoa, you know?
Right.
But she wasn't. She was just, you know, completely, I felt like that was her, true to her experience.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And that's why it's very interesting because, you know, usually you hear it from people, you go, it's all bullshit. But
you
then you meet someone.
That if you go somewhere, you're not meant to come back. But what about like alien abductions?
There are no alien abductions. There's no aliens. Period. Get it out. Get over it.
I think there
at
are.
At least we were. Yeah, well,
100%.
I don't. No. I know many people do. I'm fascinated with movies and books about aliens, but I really don't believe there's
you
anything
really
else out there.
You really don't think that in the universe,
in the
vast,
almost
ever-expanding
right.
And they've they're discovering planets and other universes that are super similar to ours. You think that there is not other life?
Well, there's no, because I mean, look how perfect it has to be. I mean, we were talking about this the other day, that if the climate goes up by 1 or 2 degrees, it throws off everything.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, to have these perfect conditions, yes, it's likely, but I don't think that. And even if there are, we will never know. We will never know. I don't think they're coming here. Because
maybe they've already been here.
Yeah.
They came here, you know, like, this isn't for me.
The distances are like in light years. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, we already know in our solar system, there's probably no life.
Maybe they're already here.
So we're going to other places, you know, in the galaxy.
I think they're already here.
You think so? Okay, well, we'll see. Eventually, one day we'll know, right?
I hope. So. Yeah. I hope in my lifetime that is what I.
Well, let's put it this way: after we die, we'll find out a lot, or we'll find out nothing. Maybe we're just worm food, you know.
Yeah.
So you never know. But
at
the
least
amazing
the people
thing
of
is
the
we don't
future
know.
Will have our archives of this radio.
Right, and
you
they
know,
can. We'll put it in a time capsule,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah,
yeah, they'll go. Oh, Sam in the Morning,
Sam
with,
in
Rachel.
The Morning with Rachel.
Very important show.
Iconic.
In 2017.
You know, exactly, the greats.
But yeah, we might as well be, you know. So we do have a great guest, and that's why we were teasing with the marijuana talk. And in just a moment, she'll be joining us. I just wanted to bring up a couple things. I guess the North Korea thing is heating up, and
unintended.
Yes, and so they're saying that, you know, we need to start thinking about war, you know, because think about it. They're saying that nuclear problem has to be stopped. And when you go back, you realize this was a similar situation with Saddam Hussein, who also was stockpiling, they thought, weapons of mass destruction. And they went in there and they finally destroyed everything.
I think this is a distraction, not to be a...
It's not a distraction. These people have freaking missiles.
I know, but listen to what I'm saying.
Okay.
We said that about Iraq. George Bush had us all convinced that there was weapons of mass destruction. And then they went in and they found out there was nothing. And that was a big distraction for whatever that was going on then. I think that they're using this same distraction because Trump campaigned on America first. We're not focusing on anything about America. He's too busy getting into fights with other countries and trying to make them pay for shit that they supposedly owe us. It's like, dude, like, forget about
right.
it. You know, like, you're like that guy that, like, loaned people money back in the day, and you're such a scumbag, and now you owe someone money, and you're going back to these people, and you're like, I need my $5 back. Like, forget about it. Focus on your own problems. You
no,
know?
That's
like,
true. That's true, but we
thing.
Have to think.
We've been fine. Not that we've been fine with North Korea, but, like, we, like, why all of a sudden?
Because,
you know,
they're
what I mean?
Because they're arriving,
I know,
at that
but
technology.
100%.
It's been like that for a long
time.
Instead
of threatening with war, like, we need to have conversations. It's
but
like,
they don't want conversation.
I mean, but
they
I
don't.
Just think that there's, like, truthfully, I think that the media and Trump, and he's using it to his advantage to try and distract us from the Russia thing. And there,
okay.
Let me tell you about this.
Right.
That I saw on the TV today. And I know that you're a liberal Republican. You're one
no,
of the, you're
no, I'm not liberal.
No,
no,
but you're a moderate Republican.
You're not extreme.
You have liberal you have liberal views, but you are a Republican.
Right.
And most Republicans don't believe in the Russia collusion story, and that's
right.
fine. But you can see, but you will see Congress on both sides do and acknowledge that there was Russia collusion. And
right.
I personally think, and I grew up in a political family. I've seen politics my whole life. Politics is a game.
Yeah.
You've seen House of Cards.
Right.
It really is. It's a game. It's strategy. So, like, I personally think this could possibly, not to say that I could be wrong, right? I will admit I'm the first one, you know, if I'm wrong. But I think that there's something else going, like, he's happily using this as a distraction.
Okay, but you got to look back at the history. I mean, even the Korean War, that was a very important war. And if you go back in history and
100%.
Stuff, you remember.
I'm just saying,
that
now?
Was a fight against communists.
North Korea has always
no,
been
but
there.
It's not always. But no, just because two things happen at the same time doesn't
right.
mean there's causation.
Of course.
Right?
I'm just saying, why now? Like, why? Why now all of a sudden are we escalate? Like, I don't think that what he's necessarily doing is, I think it's exacerbating the situation. Trump makes it, you know, like Obama, he was just soothing and calm and level-headed. And I'm not saying he was correct about everything, but world leaders liked working with him.
Yes,
they enjoyed.
Because- Well, they did, but that's him. Not. But that's not necessarily a good thing for America. I mean, I don't care what other people think. I care what goes
of course,
on here.
But you,
you
want
know?
A level-headed president, someone who's not.
Well, yeah,
go
that
in
I don't
and,
argue
and
with.
Go in and
but,
instigate and exa- and make things worse.
Right.
Right.
No, no, I agree. But listen,
I don't think he has any idea what's going on. And like I said yesterday,
yeah. No, he
now
doesn't.
Is the
he
perfect
doesn't.
Time for right. if something bad were to happen because we don't have leadership in all of these roles. Like we mm-hmm. simply just don't have someone who. Right. is like leading the country, you right, know, it's right. almost like we have people brought in to babysit him,
right?
You know what I mean?
When, yeah, yeah.
So that's all. I
all
mean,
right. Well,
it
let's
could be true.
Let's
no.
plan a conversation on Obama. We'll devote like a whole show to it. Maybe one day when we don't have a guest, because I know you like Obama a lot. I thought he was not a good president, and we can sit and talk about that. I don't want to steal too much
do
time
you,
from our guest.
Do you have? Are you on the? Do you have insurance under Obamacare?
I haven't. No, not. I don't know if it's under Obamacare or not. How do I know? How
well,
am I
did you get it through Covered
I don't
California?
Know. Somebody got it for me. Maybe I don't know. I don't know
yeah.
if it's
do you
Covered
like your
California.
Insurance?
I have Kaiser. I don't know if it's.
But do you like your insurance?
It's okay. Yeah, yeah. But no, I mean the, it. I don't know. As far as the health insurance, that's a whole different thing. Okay.
Well, here's the thing.
But,
I will say this.
But as far as diplomacy, I don't think Obama was great for us.
You may not think yeah. that he was a great president.
Right.
But if we can all take a step back and observe from a distance the president that he was
right.
in his timeline. For me personally, gay marriage. I'm not gay, but
right.
that mattered to me to have a president
right.
who supported something like that.
Right.
right?
So everybody
personal
votes
freedoms.
Based
so
on what matters
look,
to them, right?
Right. If, exactly.
Right.
For me, I felt safe knowing someone like him was our president.
Right, right.
I am now in a position where I feel unsafe
right.
with what is going on. Would
right.
you agree that you may have felt safer under Obama?
No, I wouldn't say that. But, you know, that's what I'm saying.
But
let's,
do you feel
let's
safer under Trump?
No.
Okay, so you don't.
No, I don't. I mean, I'm a look. I'm a conservative. I'm not
right.
so much a Republican as I'm a conservative.
Of course.
Okay, I'm not an extreme one, but I'm able to look on the other side and see when things are not going right. And oh, and Trump was not my first or second or third choice.
Yeah.
When there were primaries going mm-hmm. on, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that's what we were stuck with, Hillary and him, you know. So, but anyway, folks, I know.
And
our,
also,
our,
I will say,
Hillary
was not my first choice either.
Yeah, yeah.
But I will say that, yeah.
So you go with what you have. You
yeah.
know. Okay, go ahead and introduce our guest to us today since it's a very good friend of yours.
Super, super excited to introduce today's guest. She is amazing. She's the world's first, and I love saying it, the world's first cannabis matchmaker and cannabis life coach. Her
really?
Name is Molly Peckler, and she has a company called Highly Devoted.
Molly, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, we like that you're here, and we're continuing our cannabis saga here that's been going on for 2 years.
Yeah.
But
I love it.
Yeah.
2 years.
So
just
tell us
back.
what a cannabis matchmaker is.
So I am a traditional matchmaker. So I'm basically completely offline, and people come to me when they are looking for love. And they want to make sure that cannabis is reflected in their relationship.
Ah, okay. Because it's hard to find if you smoke or use and other people don't, it's hard to connect, right?
Yeah. It is true.
People that are anti this
true.
Are really anti.
I've been there. I've been right. in relationships where that it's been a problem.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I've never been in a relationship where the woman actually smoked, believe it or not. They all expected me to stop.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people face. You know, you'll go out on a date and you'll bring up, okay, I enjoy cannabis, and then someone will be like, oh, you're a drug addict.
Right,
you're
exactly.
You're a lazy stoner.
So
you
wouldn't even
anything.
Say that. I mean, you know, I wouldn't even admit it the first
well,
time
it's
or anything,
the new,
right?
It's the new cigarette smoking. Almost,
yeah, yeah,
right?
yeah.
Just
even,
people are uneducated. There's
right.
these thoughts that come into their mind, except the difference between smoking cigarettes and smoking weed is...
Right.
They're gross.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the planet, difference. You know, cannabis is much safer than alcohol. It's much safer than opioids and all these other pharmaceuticals. It really right. is. It's a good substance to put in your body. Obviously.
It's an aphrodisiac.
It is. It yeah. is. Like, it gets you in the mood.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It does. It makes you enjoy food and everything
oh,
else.
Yeah.
Music. Everything,
everything.
Else. And I have to admit to that, you know, haven't enjoyed this for so many years and stuff, but... it is a drug, you know, it is a drug. And you have to remember
cannabis?
That.
It's
yeah.
a plant.
No, well, it is, but it causes.
But you have to be.
It gives you drug.
You have to be careful about. Here's the thing. When yeah. we put labels on marijuana weed, like it's a drug, right? It's right. all about how it's the lens in which it's looked at. I think it's wrong. And I don't think you're meaning it in a bad way. I right. just think like Advil is a drug because you get it at a drugstore.
Absolutely.
But I think when we change the conversation to say instead of it's a drug and we say it's a medicine, right?
right
because
right.
a drug has a negative connotation, like you're drugged, you're impaired, right?
Right.
A medicine.
But THC will make you impaired and stuff like that for many people.
But you can
I mean,
say
maybe
that about
not
Xanax.
Us, we're functioning.
You can say that about Zoloft. You can say
no,
that
I
about
know.
Seroquel.
I'm saying that.
Right. Okay.
But
so
that's
at least
all
you
I'm
can,
saying why can, it's a drug. Because right. it changes your state of mind, right? Your
right.
altered
it,
state.
It can cause euphoria.
Right. It can cause anxiety in some people, right?
In some people.
And paranoia and stuff. So,
but in
I
the,
mean, look, I'm
right.
just giving both
well,
sides
yeah,
of the
course,
argument.
Of course, 100%. And it's important that we have that because... and here's the other part of the conversation. We were talking with the task force, Ruben and Elizabeth earlier
right.
today. And because we don't have the the proper regulations, and because we don't have the federal government on board to give us that support from the scientific community, we're left in the dark figuring out what is the proper dosage. You
right.
know, how much should I consume? And because of that, there are people can have negative
right.
experiences with it, and therefore like you have a bad taste in calamari one time, you think
right.
that's how calamari is going to be for the rest
yeah,
of your life.
Yeah,
when
right.
in fact I fucking
true.
Love calamari's great, but if you have yeah. one bad one
yeah,
bad
yeah.
bite, it's done, right?
Right.
So that's really what I think, you know, that's really where I think, you know,
yeah.
the problem lies.
It's a lack of education.
Yeah.
You know, and something that a lot of people deal with is edibles, and they have that one terrible mm-hmm. edible experience.
Right, they take too much.
They take too much, and they freak out.
Right.
And then, you know, you realize you sleep it off, and you wake up in the next morning, and you're fine.
Right.
But it can be a little traumatic.
Right.
And so I think if you understand what you're putting into your body, then you're going to have a lot less issues with it.
That's
know?
True, right? Then you don't have yeah. to smoke it if you have a problem with smoking,
no,
right?
There are so many ways to ingest cannabis.
Right.
There's tinctures.
Right.
There's topicals. You can use CBD, which doesn't
bath
actually
bombs.
Get you high.
Right.
But it has all of the medicinal components.
I had a conversation with a girl in my writing group last night. She was like, I want to talk to you about weed. You know how many people come up to me and just simply want to start that conversation?
Right.
Because they look at me and they see I live my normal, you know, my daily life. I go, I'm, you know, whatever. And they're like, how can someone who consumes this much cannabis be living their life normally? So people don't even know about CBD.
Right.
They just think weed gets you stoned and you sit on the couch and you eat potato chips.
Right.
Like,
right.
They have no idea that people can use it without getting high and benefit from it.
And there's so many different strains and just so many different ways to consume it. And they all have different effects. And that's why there's this kind of new movement of microdosing, which I think is really interesting. And that's basically having, you know, a really small edible, something that's 2.5 milligrams or 5 milligrams.
Oh, my God. I just took 250 right. this morning.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
how
what's
do you
2.5?
Do that? I
but
fall
I barely
asleep.
Even feel it. That's
wow.
what I'm saying.
Well,
yeah.
well, that's the problem with edibles, too, is you can
build up
build
a tolerance.
Up a tolerance so
but
quickly.
I built a tolerance because I've been smoking for 40 years, you know? I mean,
yeah.
my brain is not a virgin anymore.
Was it ever virgin?
Well, at 17 it was, but then I started.
But one of the things that I really like about microdosing is that it doesn't really get you high per mm-hmm. se, but it's really good for anxiety and for focus. Mm-hmm. And
really? So
yeah.
even if you don't really feel it, mm-hmm. but it makes you deal with these things better.
Exactly.
Really?
One of the amazing things about cannabis is that it literally promotes homeostasis in your body. So it balances you out. It puts you in a healing state. It puts you exactly how you're supposed to be in order to be as efficient as possible.
Right, because right. you have to remember, like, as much as it's a quote-unquote drug, we have an endocannabinoid system in our body. So consuming cannabis is meant for our bodies. It balances us out and makes us feel normal. No other drug, Advil wouldn't do that. Xanax wouldn't do that.
Right.
You know, like our body isn't built for these pharmaceuticals that we don't know any of the long-term effects of, right? So
right.
like for us to say it's like, then water is a drug because we're made up of water, you know what I mean? Like what is a drug then? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. A drug is, I think, something that changes the way the chemistry in your body
caffeine.
In some way.
Caffeine's a drug, yeah.
Right, absolutely. And me coming from the old school and stuff, I've been smoking marijuana and cigarettes for all these years, and that's bad. But I always felt the marijuana really hurt my lungs, and I think it does when you smoke a lot, but the cigarettes have probably hurt more.
I definitely think that it's the cigarettes. That
yeah,
you,
yeah.
And then,
but
course,
listen, it can't possibly
my boyfriend's
can possibly
the same thing.
Be
He's
okay.
Like any type of
I mean, because we
smoke
cough.
Hitting
we cough like shit when we smoke marijuana sometimes. You know, it can't be good for your lungs. But then again, it's a small price to
but
pay.
Then again,
I'm totally
in California,
a pro-cannabis. I'm just yeah. thinking, you know, about the people that are against it and stuff. And because they don't really understand.
Of course. And that's the thing is like my mom, for instance, she lost my grandmother, her mother, to lung cancer. So for her to even think about smoking or vaping or anything is out of the question, right?
Right, right.
So like options would be edibles, tinctures, under the tongue spray, topicals, you know, tablets, whatever it is. There are other ways to get the medicine that you never have to inhale anything in your life, right?
Right, right.
For me, I just prefer the smoking method because, you know, I know yeah. I realize I'm taking a risk here or whatever. But you're
why?
Right. You're right. Why do I prefer the smoking?
No. Why do you think you're taking a risk?
Because like you said, I think any type of
combustion
into
right.
your lungs
into your
is
lungs,
probably
right.
not.
But even
the
without
best.
The combustion, I have a feeling the vapes are not good either.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Lungs.
Even vaping, who knows? Right. We don't know. We don't have any testing on it. There's right. no long term. We're kind of just, you know, figuring yeah. it out as we yeah. go.
I forget the name of the chemical, but there is a chemical in certain types of vapes that causes popcorn lung, which is really terrible.
Right,
for you.
I that's
forget
what
exactly
I heard.
What it's called.
Is
so
that,
you have to be pretty specific about the vapes that you consume. But one thing to keep in mind is that no one has ever gotten cancer from cannabis, even lung cancer, even people
yeah.
who smoke.
Really?
And they're saying
never.
That they're that like
it kills
the
cancer
CBD
cells.
Kills the cancer
not
exactly
just, not
attacks
just CBD.
It attacks the cancer cells, so it's almost like preventative medicine
right,
in a way.
Right.
And that's like I'm like, well, maybe I'm just preventing it.
You
know,
are.
Who knows? Right. We don't know.
Yeah,
so.
And plus, look at the people that have been smoking for years, like
right.
me, or like look at Willie Nelson and
Cheech
and Chong, right? All these guys, and they've lasted. You
yeah.
know, they haven't died.
The only one
anything.
That's Bob Marley had cancer, but he had toe cancer, and we don't even think that's from weed. Who knows what he was smoking?
No.
Too.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
But you
I
also
know.
You look at all of these visionaries in Silicon Valley, all of these masters of industry, and a lot of them are huge cannabis consumers
really?
And cannabis advocates.
Yeah.
It's something that you really can use
well,
to find success.
They're seeing the science that it is reversing cancer cells, like they are slowly starting to do the science and the
that would be cool.
epilepsy and I mean
oh, yeah.
they're
yeah.
just
they're
that starting to see
cool.
the effects
yeah.
of it the long
yeah.
term.
One of the reasons why I'm so passionate about it is I have a family member whose life has literally been saved by cannabis.
Really?
And
right.
and this is real medicine, you know, like you were saying, it literally causes cancer cells to kill themselves.
Ruben had an autoimmune the guest we had he had an autoimmune deficiency or a disease and he's cured, it's gone. He
right.
said, right?
Right.
There's literally nothing better for PTSD or for insomnia. It's really great for anxiety. And you have such few side effects. Yeah, you might get a little bit hungry with certain strains or
right.
it might make you a little tired. But I think especially in terms of anxiety, because some people feel like, oh, I smoke and then I get all anxious and I start thinking and I can't stop it. It's all about kind of figuring out the dosage that works for you and the strains,
right.
methods. You just have to kind of play around with it a little
exactly.
bit and just see
yeah.
see what is your preferred dose.
Especially when you get started because your body's
yeah.
not used to it. You know, I mean, I'll take anything. You give me 1,000 milligrams, I'll handle it. But
yeah.
no, I get 1,000 milligram edibles, but I eat them like five different times or
right.
something. So it's 200. But that still, people can't believe I like eat 2 edibles a day.
That's nuts.
200 each.
That's
and
wild.
That's a lot, right?
I'm
that's
impressed.
A lot. And I'm not trying to impress. I'm actually feeling guilty about it because I shouldn't. Because by now, it's not affecting as much. So you always have to take more. But look, that's with anything. So we're joined by Molly Peckler. She's a good friend, a very good friend of Rachel's. And we're going to talk a little bit about your background. Where are you originally from, L.A.?
I am actually from Chicago, born and raised, and I lived in Chicago my entire life up until a little over a year ago.
Really? So you're totally Obama country there.
Yes. Yeah. I was in Grant Park the night he got elected.
I was at the inauguration.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, in Chicago, even though it is a liberal city, it's pretty conservative when it comes to cannabis.
Really?
Yeah,
oh, to cannabis.
To cannabis and to all sorts of things. I mean, it's still a Midwestern town.
That's true. Do they have medicinal out there?
They do, but the medical cannabis program in Illinois is incredibly strict. The qualifying conditions are things like cancer and epilepsy and AIDS, that it's not like pain or anxiety or insomnia. They just recently added PTSD to the list, which was a huge win. But, you know, it's not easy for everyone to access. You have to go and you get background checks and go get fingerprinted and
I know,
all this
can you
crazy
imagine?
Stuff.
Wow.
Whereas,
I didn't realize that.
I know. And then here in California, I got my cannabis card over Skype by using this website called Presto Doctor. And in 10 minutes, like I had my medical recommendation, and then I got the actual hardcover version of it in the mail a couple days later.
How cool
and
is
that was it. It was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
You see, and then you go to dispensaries here, they check it, 2 minutes you're inside.
Yep.
And it's a whole different world inside.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went up to Tahoe, they even let you smoke in the dispensary and hang out.
That's cool.
Which is amazing,
that's
you know.
Cool.
But now we're going to have that in, you know, maybe recreational, maybe they'll let us. I remember like a few years back when I would go to dispensaries, many of them were just like popping up, you know, like mushrooms. And they would let you smoke in there, you know. And now you go, they're very strict.
Yeah, very strict.
You can't.
Very
well, strict. They, you know, they don't want to get busted.
Yeah,
right.
That's the easiest way to get shut down. Right.
Right. I mean, they get a lot of people coming there, too, you know.
Yep.
I mean, can you imagine if everybody just sat there and smoked?
Yeah.
It's a lot of people.
You know, they're trying to do anything possible to make sure that they're upstanding and they're within the letter of the law, even though it's constantly changing and there's tons of gray area.
Right.
But one of the things that I'm really excited about moving forward is they're going to have these kind of cannabis lounges around California.
That's, I sure hope so.
Yes,
that's what we were talking about, you know, Amsterdam style.
Right.
We need that.
100%.
Do you think it's going to happen?
Yeah.
Oh, it's definitely going to happen.
Really?
I mean, this is already
being discussed. Because in Colorado, they don't have it, do they?
In Denver, last November, there, I think it was Prop 300, and they passed it to allow kind of cannabis lounges, because basically what they'd been doing there is, even though it was recreational, you couldn't
smoke it anywhere.
They had these dab buses that would just drive
that's how
it is in Vegas right now. They legalized it, and there's no place for people to consume.
Right. Then hotels will kick you out and
but
fine you. That's
time,
what they say.
Every time I've been to Vegas and you're in the casino and you're walking down the halls, it reeks of cannabis.
Are you serious?
And it also reeks of cigarette smoke. Yeah.
Cigarette
I'd rather
is bad.
Smell
you see, the thing is,
weed.
I'm a smoker, but I don't smoke indoors. Mm-hmm. To walk inside a hotel and smell all these cigarettes and stuff. But the thing is, the cannabis, I mean, that takes balls, though, to smoke, because it smells so strong, you know?
You got to have the
guilty.
Right
tool. Yeah. I've definitely done it.
I always bring with me, take like a little, an empty toilet paper tube and just...
Spoofy or whatever. Yeah.
Whatever they're called. I don't remember.
They have those things you blow into, right?
Yeah, you blow into it, and then it smells like dryer sheets.
Right.
So that's typically what I'll do. or, you know, you can bring a vaporizer like a Pax, and it doesn't smell nearly
right.
See, you guys
strong.
Are courteous. I just
smells.
Don't give a
yeah,
fuck.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you see, but I still have that fear of getting busted, you know? So it's funny. But yeah, when I went to Tahoe, they said, the reason we let people smoke in here is because hotels will fine you and throw you out, you know, because it's illegal as far as they're concerned. And at the beach, you can't. You can't go anywhere, you know. So
right.
when I was with my friends, we had to find just places to pull up with a car, pull over and smoke, you know. And so, I mean, where do you smoke?
You still feel like a criminal.
Exactly.
You still feel like, no, I'm breaking the law.
Exactly.
And it's really,
let's not smoke here. There's people here. There's kids here, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but hopefully that will change moving forward.
Yeah.
And things they're moving in that direction.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, so what was it like growing up in Chicago? I mean, did you... Well, you seem like you come from good background, right? Good family and everything.
Yeah, I have wonderful parents, a great family. They have been married 48 years. It'll be next week.
Ah, how cool is that?
It's amazing. They're a great example to follow.
Right. So you're a young child for them, right?
I mean,
you're not even close to that age.
Right.
I'm 48, yeah. So.
Oh, yeah, no.
Do you have siblings?
I do, yeah. I have an older sister, and then I had a brother who passed away, and I was the oops. I was the oops child.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was not expected.
Oh.
But no, it's really been wonderful because I've been able to kind of share my passion for cannabis with my parents.
Really? And they enjoy it? Are they open to it?
They're when we're in the comfort of our own home, like we'll do every year the night before Thanksgiving, we have kind of a family
sesh
which is the best.
How cool is
and
that?
We'll play Cards Against Humanity, which is so fun to play with your parents, especially when you're high. And it's a great way to bond. And that's one of the reasons why I love cannabis so much, is because it allows you to kind of forge these connections with people
that you wouldn't
ordinarily have. And you can just feel comfortable knowing first and foremost that you're not being judged. That, okay, this is who I am. This is the real me.
Right.
And when you can be yourself, like, that's when confidence shines through.
Yeah.
That's when you can really have
so
amazing
true.
Experiences because you don't have to wear that mask and pretend you're someone you're
that's
not.
That's true. And I've had to wear that mask for decades.
Yeah.
And that was very hard.
It's
exhausting. It is, you know. And I'm still, you know, when I smoke in my balcony and stuff, it's like, you know, the neighbors hate this. And sometimes they make comments and stuff. But yeah, all in all, it's like now you realize how many people are using it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now
because
that
there's
it's
a place
out in the open.
To have a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, by like, and that was the thing when rec passed and when legalization, you know, when we voted for it back last November or whatever.
Seems
when we
like
knew,
a lifetime
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, when we knew that it was coming here and that it was going to happen in July in Vegas, I had that conversation with my parents and like I was like, look, this is my coming out. I think it was around the time Molly and I became friends.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I have to be honest. I'm going to own it and have that adult conversation. And it's the best thing that I probably ever did was just own that this is the industry that I'm going to fight for and advocate for and
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see, I mean, with me, it's like I hid it from my parents for many years, and you know, so they didn't really know anything. But then, the conversation started opening up about cannabis and medical cannabis when they were still in Israel, and so we started talking about it and stuff. In the meantime, they came here. I let them both try vaporizer. Nothing happened. And then, but my mom suffers from pain and all that stuff. I told her, try a joint. She just didn't like how it made her high. So maybe CBD is better for
her. Oh, 100%. Yeah.
But I would like them to understand what it's like to be high on weed. And like you said, you know, smoke together and actually enjoy it, you know.
It's
so I'm
going
to get them to do this. I mean, my dad would probably freak out because he's got Parkinson's.
But
anyway,
but
it's great for Parkinson's.
I know. But what does it do exactly? You know, sorry.
I think it's just... when we say that they're going to freak out, it makes the experience a little bit more scarier, and you already put the pressure on the situation.
No, but I've seen it happen.
Right, but that's 100%. But you also don't know what you were giving them. It could have been sativa. It could have been, that's why I'm saying we always have to approach it from like a medical standpoint. So if you're like, I want to try this with my parents, what are the effects you want them to feel? Do you want them to feel relaxed? Do you want them to feel happy? Do you want them to feel like hungry? You know, so if you approach it like that, maybe the result would be different.
That's true. You see, I forget because to me, by this point, they're all the same. You know, I can't tell the difference.
Anytime people have said, whoa, I've had a bad experience with cannabis, my first question is, well, what did you take?
What did you smoke?
Oftentimes, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Well, here's, why don't you try it this time differently, but from a different approach.
Great idea. Mm-hmm. Great idea. Okay. So we'll think about that.
Like I said, it's the calamari thing. They have it one time and they think that's how it's going to be every time.
That's true. You're right.
Do it with people who are familiar with it, who can kind of guide you through the process, be there for you. But yeah, it's all about your mindset. If you go into it saying, I'm going to freak out and I'm going to be
anxious. Because any little feeling that is not normal is going to be associated with this is negative when it's really, no, this is awesome. This is your body. body enjoying the effects of cannabis. Let it ride. Right.
I think also another issue that people face when they first start getting into cannabis is they don't realize that, like, you really are taking a journey to know yourself.
Right.
And that can sometimes be a little stressful and surprising. And maybe you're going to be aware of some things that you've been ignoring for a while. So it's intense.
And also having to admit that, hey, I might like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a guilt. There's a shame that might come from it.
Right.
And that was the thing is, like, when I was living in Florida and knowing that I was consuming something, which in Florida at the time was still very legal, there's that guilt and shame that you still, like, I'm enjoying this, but I feel bad that I'm
right.
enjoying
I'm it. Hiding it. And maybe
exactly,
I'm a drug addict
exactly.
or something, you know, and that's
and the
it's
judgment.
Federally illegal.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It still is.
And that's why it needs to be talked about and there needs to be faces, you know.
But let me ask you this. Do you think that since we smoke all the time, I mean, isn't that the definition of an addiction?
Well, here's how I look at it. I was prescribed pharmaceuticals from age 5 till about age 24, where every day I had to take these pills. Sometimes I had to take pills upon pills because of the pills, the side effects from the other pills, right?
Yes, that's how it works, always.
Some people
have to take medication every day. Right. That's true.
And for me, do I think that, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I choose to consume cannabis every day because I like the way I feel when I consume it,
right?
And
it doesn't interfere with your life, right?
And that's the thing.
It's a non-issue. It doesn't interfere with my life.
I think something becomes an addiction when it starts to have a negative effect
on your life.
And
right.
for me, I would call self-proclaimed a professional weed smoker. You know, I've figured out how to make it work for my life. Do I think my routine would work for everyone? Absolutely not. I'm a mad woman when it comes to my weed.
Yeah.
But I just think that it's all about, like with food. Food can become an addiction. What is your relationship with it? And why, you have to think about why at that point is it becoming so negative.
Right,
there obviously is an underlying problem that isn't being addressed. And I think marijuana gets a bad rap because just like anything else, like food or whatever, like we were talking about, it can become a negative.
Yeah, right.
It can. If you treat it like that.
Right, exactly.
I look at it as more of a ritual or a habit.
Right, that's true.
Rather than an addiction.
People have a glass of wine every night. People have a martini.
Coffee in the morning. It really is the same thing. And if you can use it in a way that it enhances your life, I mean, it helps me focus. It helps me think outside the box.
I know, absolutely. I mean, I built this whole station while I've been using marijuana. So give me a break. You know?
Give us a break.
It's not a bad thing at all. Back to Molly, by the way. Molly, for those of you just joining us, you're a cannabis matchmaker. Tell us a little bit about how long have you been doing this now? Or since you declared yourself the first one.
The first one. Though I started this business back about 2 years ago in June of 2015, and I had worked as a professional mainstream matchmaker for several years.
Back in Chicago,
I worked for a very high-end agency. And that was kind of where I started to realize that, oh, this is something that I'm really good at and I can really help people. I have a background in psychology, and I have just always had a really good understanding of how men and women think and how that is different and how to bridge those gaps. And you know, I just have a really great capacity for empathy, and I'm emotionally intelligent. So I know how to help people to be comfortable with me and ask them the right questions so we can kind of get to what's underlying.
Right.
And then figure out, you know, okay, what do we need to do? You know, I'm someone who I will definitely challenge my clients if they think, okay, I'm looking for this in a partner. I'm like, why are those things so important to you? And really understanding, you know, you get to I look at people's core values. How do they see the world? How do they process information? What are their priorities? What do they really want out of life? Because if you have those things in common, if those things are aligned, then it's a lot easier.
Those are
to
your
find.
Non-negotiables, yeah. Right? Your morals,
sure,
right?
Yeah, your morals, but also what's your ideal relationship dynamic? What are your passions? You know, do you want to stay where you are right now or do you want to move? You know, do you want to have kids?
Right.
What is an ideal relationship look like to you? Right. All of these things have to come into play. And obviously, personality and sense of humor.
Isn't
that's
so
really
funny
too.
That, like, if only I had this questionnaire before every relationship I had jumped into, who knows what I would have avoided, right?
Right, exactly.
I feel like there needs to be, like, before you get into a relationship, like, almost like a relationship test, like a license to be together. You know what I mean?
It's more about just having clarity.
Yeah.
And really knowing what you're searching for and why those things are so important. Because then, A, it's a lot easier to find what you're searching for if you know. And B, you're not going to settle because you understand how important all of those things are to you.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of people who are incredibly unhappy in relationships, whether it's marriage or just a long-term relationship. And it's because they made the wrong choice of the person that they're supposed to be with.
Yeah.
And either they end up being miserable for a really long time or they get divorced. You know, all these things can happen. And so I'm all about helping my clients to date efficiently, to not waste time with the wrong people. Right. So when we work together, you know, I go through a pretty long, intensive questionnaire that would be very helpful to you.
That would be tough if you're asking me why I want these things,
right.
You know? Yeah.
But that's when you know why.
But you know what would be tougher? Getting another divorce. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like going through that.
And I also give homework to my clients so that, you know, and that's more about kind of identifying those core values and understanding when are you happiest, when are you most satisfied, when are you most proud, you know, because if you can find someone who feels the same, then, you know, you're going to have so much more fun with them and be so much more satisfied in life. So once we have that that kind of settled and we understand what are the parameters of the search, that's when I start looking. So I have a database of kind of white collar cannabis consumers from all over the country and throughout the world. But I also have a huge network of people who I know. And then I'll go out and specifically recruit for clients, too.
Really?
And I don't have to just be here in Los Angeles. Right now I'm working with someone who lives in Brooklyn, but I'm still recruiting for them. And I can the beauty of the Internet is that you can do that.
That's true.
Can do that from anywhere.
So you were successful in Chicago. What made you want to move here?
Well, a lot of it was, you know, quality of life. Chicago is a tough place to live. The weather is so bad. It's really, really terrible.
Wow.
I'm surprised you lived there that long.
I'm surprised.
Of course, that makes sense. But yeah. I mean, it's just...
I was complaining. Everyone knew that I was always bitching and moaning about how much I couldn't stand the weather and how I wanted to come to California.
Wow,
and I'm
cool.
I'm very, very lucky that my husband felt the same exact way. And so, you know, after some time and just kind of getting things into place, we're like, all right, let's do it.
Let's move.
We drove across the country and it was the best decision that we have ever made. And now I have so many more opportunities for my business.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
You know, I've thrown kind of really upscale cannabis singles events here and I have all sorts of different types of events in the works. I'm doing like a speed dating event in September.
Speed weed dating.
Oh,
love
it.
Weed dating.
Exactly.
And there's so many opportunities to explore everything that this industry has to offer, especially because there are a lot of people who are out there and are like, I really want to find someone who doesn't judge me for weed and who wants to share that with me.
Right, right. And that's hard to find. That's why you have a definitely good market, a good niche of people that it's important to them.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, look, if you go to a traditional matchmaker, they're going to ask you about you.
Everything.
They're going to ask, do you do drugs? What are you going to say?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you say, yes, I use marijuana.
They're going to judge you.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody's going to write you
gonna
off.
Or it's going to limit your possibility of finding a mate through their service.
Right, exactly. So what's the point, you know, if you're not being yourself? And then you click with someone and then later on they realize that you're smoking or
using it. And that's the other thing is not all like people consume marijuana the same way.
Right.
Everyone's different.
So, and also just because you smoke weed doesn't mean you do other drugs. Mm. Doesn't mean you drink. That's another thing. Right?
No,
you know
but
what
I'm saying
right,
is
no,
you're
no,
100%, 100%.
Right.
But that's how people would judge you, right?
Right, exactly. So.
Right. And I want people to realize that when you're making this decision of who you're going to end up with, which is such an important decision, you have to be honest.
Yeah.
You have to be open. Otherwise, you know, you're settling and you're going to be unhappy.
That's true.
Like, why waste the time? Just be yourself. Mm-hmm. And that allows people to be so much more confident. And that's the sexiest thing ever when you're the right? partner.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter how you look. If you're confident, you're going to attract mm-hmm. people.
Right. And I guess you better than anyone sees or you see so many different people in mm-hmm. so many different social status.
Can you confirm careers, everyone does smoke
profession?
Weed?
Yes. Everyone really? Uses cannabis in some way or another.
Really?
Not everyone, but everyone many from every people. Walk of life that
right.
you can imagine.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. I mean, it doesn't discriminate. Everybody likes it.
No. And it just you know, unlike something like alcohol, which can be really destructive in your life, cannabis, right. if you do it in moderation, and moderation is different for everyone,
exactly.
but if you do it in moderation for you, then, you know, it's not going to have negative effects in your life. It really is going to bring good things to you.
That's true. And I mean, to me, it only brought good things. I mean, many years I felt that was the only thing that really carried me through
tough
times.
You built this station.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm talking about worse times
right.
when it
mm-hmm.
took me through some very hard times. Yeah. You know, it was my friend.
Mary Jane will never wake up in the morning and tell you it doesn't love you anymore.
This is true. This is very, very
true.
There
you go. So listen, we only have a few minutes left. If people want to use your services, how can they, what can they expect? Tell us.
So you can head over to highlydevoted.com or find me on Instagram at highlydevoted and just DM me. And basically the first step is to go through a consultation, which is completely free. So that's about a 20-30 minute phone call where I can get a feel for you and what you're searching for and what you've been through. And then I'll kind of explain the specifics and all the logistics of what it would be like to work together. And then the next step is meeting for that interview, which can take like an hour and a half sometimes because it does get pretty in depth. And once I understand the search and what you're looking for, if I feel like I can be successful and I can help you find someone and you're realistic in terms of what you're searching for, then that's when we would start working together and I'd begin the search.
And also, this isn't just for finding love. Like, she helps people come out to their families.
Yeah.
Life coaching or, you know, just because people have that, like she was saying, that roadblock of like, there's something that's holding them back and the confidence isn't there. And it often could be because they're not being honest with they're not allowed to be who they truly are.
That's true, right?
Yeah.
So you use all that background in psychology and everything. How did you fall into the matchmaking business in Chicago when you worked for the big company? What were you doing before that?
So before that, I was doing sales for a prime beef purveyor. So one from one meat market to another.
Right. Oh, girl, when do you go up? Hilarious.
And I went to a sales recruiter and I was talking to them about what I was looking for. And they were like, I know this is kind of random, but have you ever considered matchmaking? And I had actually already had a couple marriages under my belt at that point. And I loved The Millionaire Matchmaker on Bravo. And I was like, oh my God, I can actually do this for real.
Whoa.
Okay. And so I was recruited by them.
It fell into your lap. At the right mm-hmm. time
yeah.
and the right person. Wow, how cool is that?
Yeah.
I mean, how often do you go to an agency and they go, oh, go become a matchmaker. You know?
Isn't that crazy?
I know.
That's the best job in the world.
It's really amazing when I hear from a client, oh, we're engaged, or oh, we're pregnant. Like, it's the best thing ever. I am all about spreading the love. I'm so incredibly lucky. I have the most amazing love with my husband. We've been together now for 12 years and we just celebrated our 6th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And we fell in love over weed. He was smoking a bong the first time I met him.
You're like, he's the one.
Yeah. And we just connected over that. And before we even kissed, we would just spend hours chatting, smoking, getting to know each other and kind of building that foundation. And that's my inspiration for everything that I do. I want as many other people as possible to find that because it means so much to me. And it's allowed me to flourish and you know, help other people. So I think if we create more cannabis power couples, then we're going to move everything forward.
That's true, right? Wow. You see, that's the thing. It's very important to be compatible on that level because, I mean, for many years, I was hiding it for my first wife, you know? I mean, you have to go and wash your face and put, you know, and and brush your teeth
and
it still doesn't work. It still doesn't, and they know it, you know. So so that was hell, you know. And then I had to stop. Because it created problems, and I did not like myself. I did not like myself.
Right. And so, you know, I'm really excited. I'm actually going to be speaking at the Emerald Exchange next weekend. Yeah. So I'm doing...
What's the Emerald Exchange?
So the Emerald Exchange is the most amazing upscale cannabis event. It's in Malibu Canyon. And
can anybody go?
So anyone can go.
Right.
You have to buy a ticket, though. So you can go to Emerald Exchange.
I have a discount. We have a discount code.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, we both.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm going.
So either Highly Devoted for 10% off.
It's the same day as the Manhattan Beach.
The same day?
Yeah, that's where I'm going. I'm doing an event there.
Oh, okay. So we'll see. We'll work it out somehow.
Yeah, so
it's Saturday and Sunday.
On Saturday, I'm doing a panel on how to network and promote your cannabis business. And then on Sunday, I'm doing a cannabis dating workshop, which I'm super excited about. And then something else that is really, really amazing is that I am joining forces with one of Wolfie's best buddies and business
Olivia.
Partners.
Olivia, you met Olivia. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
And
what are you going to
from the Kush Queen. And so we are doing a product called the Lit Kit for Love. And it is a cannabis experience in a box for couples to share over sex and intimacy because it is such an amazing aphrodisiac. So that's coming out later this month. So you can head to Kush Queen Cannabis
later
and learn
this
more
month,
about that.
So you're already there.
Yeah, it's happening.
It's amazing.
So they go where to find out?
So you can go to kushqueencannabis.com to find out where, which local dispensaries you can get it at. It's not there yet, but it is going to be there later this month. And yeah, hopefully lots of people can fall in love over cannabis and have lots of great sex.
Yeah,
and
there
then,
you go.
Yeah, and then
sex
tell
goes
me.
With cannabis just perfectly. Yes. I'm telling you.
And one other thing that I wanted to mention, if you go to my website, highlydevoted.com, you can join my matchmaking database for free. And then you'll be eligible to be matched with clients, but we'll also fill you in on different like social and professional networking events that are going on around the country.
Awesome. And tell me something. Is it traditional that your clients are male, right?
No, I have clients who are both male and female.
Really?
Yes,
so I do not
discriminate.
No. But what I'm saying is, so women are actually making an investment in something like this.
100%.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they
cool.
absolutely are. And which is so wonderful to see. And I think a lot of people are very burnt out when it comes to all the swipe apps and the dating sites and just the time that they waste with the wrong people or with bots or whatever it is. And this is something where just leave this to me. I'm going to help you. I'll do all the due diligence. I'll screen them. And then even after the date, I'll get feedback from both people and kind of help you get that relationship off the ground.
Wow. Highlydevoted.com?
Highlydevoted.com.
Wow. There you go. Can't forget that one. Wow, you're a lot of fun, full of information. Thank you so much for joining us, Molly. And
thanks for having me. This
has
been great.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad you came.
Me too.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and you're welcome back anytime. You have
great.
An open invitation.
Awesome.
And if we can help you get more clients now. So the Emerald thing is when? August 12th and 13th?
12th and 13th.
Okay.
Yeah. And it is one of the coolest cannabis events. It's
I'm going to come.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're going to have, you bring your rec and you can smoke there and stuff?
Yeah, of and course. They'll also have an opportunity if you don't have your rec to get it
to
there.
Get one there. Mm-hmm. I know I've seen those events before.
Yeah, it's just 21. As long as you're 21, you don't need to have a California ID or anything like that. And one of the awesome things about it is that you can get these pretty substantial discounts because the cultivators are right there. It's this huge farmers market.
Wow.
And you buy directly from them. And I'm talking about crazy, crazy deals, which is awesome.
That's cool. Well, if you're a listener and you're not a user yet, today was a good reason to feel that there's nothing wrong with it, really. I mean, even I feel a little better about it, accepting myself the way it is, the
that
way I
so
am,
happy.
You know?
Yeah,
absolutely.
You disrupt that stigma. And, you know, there have been decades and decades of propaganda that we've heard from the government, and it's just not true.
Right, and they scared us to death, and police would bust us and shit like that. But today I'm feeling good about
good.
It, and it's cool. I still have that old habit of hiding the weed under the seat in the car and stuff like that, but you know.
just get a nice little stealth vape.
Yeah,
pen.
You got to get a something to cover that.
Molly Peckler, thank you so much for joining us. You're amazing. Rachel,
always.
Thank you.
Always.
And thanks everybody for listening. And tomorrow is Friday, so we'll see you here.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.